Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I haven't seen a finger gun in a while.
Well, I'm just trying to pick the energy up, boys. Come on. Come with me. Come with me. No, I'm joking.
Has the energy not been there?
No, it's been there. I just said that. I don't know what I'm saying today, all right? I'm just saying shit.
I was at a wedding once, Kempy, and the bride and groom came out, and the best man, who I knew wouldn't have been a huge fan of walking in and dancing and everything, when they walked in, the bridal table was about 5 metres away. Mm. I could tell on his face that he thought it was only going to be a 5 metre walk, so he opened with finger guns.
Oh, shit.
Little did he know that instead of going the 5 metres, they went about 60 metres around the long way.
No.
I've never respected a guy more. He held finger guns for about 2.5 minutes. It was the best thing I've ever seen.
It went from the worst thing ever to the best thing ever.
Unreal. Nothing but respect.
Okay, let's get into it, shall we? Storm defeat the Roosters. 18-12. Reffing obviously wasn't great, but it wasn't great for both sides, in my opinion. I was actually quite surprised. Spoke about this on Packer Up Boys, but I was actually quite surprised at the amount of people, especially Roosters fans, saying they were robbed. To me, I think both teams had some really poor calls against them. I also think that, you know, if you look at the two tries, I think Roosters fans are most upset about, like, okay, technically, if you went to the rule book and said, you know, did he lay hands on him, whatever. But then it's like, okay, is that what we really want though? You know, I'm sure weeks before, you know, the last few rounds when, you know, calls haven't been black and white, you've been like, that's good, we need to let the game flow. And then all of a sudden when that call kind of goes against you, you're like, no, it should be black and white. It's like, come on, the rules are never black and white. You know, that would be the worst game of rugby league ever if we were going black and white. It has to have context. I was a bit surprised. So I'm happy to be wrong though. Like maybe I'm looking at it incorrectly, but I did think both teams got some tough calls. The Roosters got tough calls, the Storm got tough calls, and I think the Storm were definitely the better side. And I think the Roosters, you know, definitely failed to put that game away when Munster was sent 10 in the bin. Let's talk about the Roosters first, because I think there's probably more to talk about with the Roosters and the Storm, because once again, the Storm just do what the Storm do. But don't worry, Storm fans. We will talk about the Storm. Roosters. Again, I spoke about this on Packer Up Boys, but this spine issue, it will not go away. It will not go away. They looked totally different to last week. They looked, especially in the second. I thought in the first half they looked similar to last week. In the second half, they just started going side to side. And the worst thing is their side to side ball playing. It's not even high quality compared to other teams. Like when you compare their set plays on the edge to say a Warriors, like the Warriors are substantially better at those set plays. And I just think that Teddy had a really good first half. I think in his second half, he's such a competitor and we love that about him. But I think sometimes he tries too hard, which is like the double-edged sword. You know, you don't want to sit here and say, don't try so hard, because that's what makes him literally one of the greatest fullbacks of all time. But at the same time, sometimes you have to ask yourself, is this what the team needs right now? I think that they need to make it extremely clear, the hierarchy of the spine. Now, I'm not on the field, so I don't know the answer to this, but it seems like sometimes that they don't know whose team it is. Is it Tedesco's team, the captain at the back? Is it Kiri's team? Is it Cheese's? Obviously, it's mostly not Cheese's, but you know, Cheese is such a key ingredient to that spine. When he wants to run, he's even unsure of himself when he needs to run. So I just think they need to sit down and say it is 100% Kiri's side or it's 100% Sam Walker's side when he comes back and go from there. Because at the moment, this has been going on for, what do you reckon, 2-3 years now?
Yeah, well, yeah, like I agree with what you're saying, but it's almost a boring conversation because we were saying this 2.5 years ago.
We were saying it 2.5 years ago.
Just nothing's been sorted there. And yeah, I agree with everything you said before too, mate. I think that if one team had a reason to complain about the refs, it was the Melbourne Storm. Mm. I mean, by the letter of the law, you know, obviously Nelson and Sofa Lomona had a hand on it, but I looked at that and went, hold on, there was 6 roosters on Katoa. How the fuck did he get the ball down?
There was a lot of roosters. Three roosters and two of them were forwards. Like, and also, that's not what got him over the try line.
100%. There was bodies everywhere. That tackle should have been made. Yeah. It's a bit hard to work out what's going on at the Roosters at the moment, mate.
Timmy?
Yeah, as Goo said, we have a similar conversation every week, just going like, what is the go-to attacking structure for the Roosters? Do they like to power through the middle? Do they use the ball early and back their firepower on the edges? I don't know. We still don't know what it is. And you look at their attack from the weekend, and you go, they've had some decent enough performances this week. We actually mentioned that like Kiri or Sam Walker playing by themselves had looked better. And you went to this weekend, a home game against the Melbourne Storm, a massive game for them. They had one line break in it. Their 2 tries came off kicks. Pretty bloody ordinary. And it's like, you know, it's a 6-point scoreline, but it's to see that in such a massive game they had to get up for, they weren't full strength. They were missing a couple in like Dom Young on the wing, Sam Walker, but like Connor Watson, who'd been decent at 5'8". You know, they have injuries, but it's still a damn good football side. They've got to be doing better than that.
And like, when they started to get back into the game, I feel like the whole game plan was just get the ball to Manu.
There was just... Well, in the second half when he decided, look, what I find so surprising with the situation is it seems like their game plan is obvious. It is through the middle. Like, it's power game. Like, when Cheese was getting out and Teddy was also getting out and tipping onto Radley, they looked unstoppable.
Well, it was last week against the Knights. It's exactly what you said 7 days ago and how good they looked. Mm. And it just looked like they went to a different attacking structure with, I suppose, Teddy back in the team. Not saying it's Teddy's fault, but things just change. Like a half leaves or a fullback leaves and just the whole attacking structure has a different dynamic.
Yeah, I do think that now maybe Kiri was playing, you know, calling those plays each edge. So then that is absolutely Kiri's fault. But I feel like it does seem like with Teddy being the captain and also the biggest, like when Cooper Cronk came into that side, it was extremely clear that Cooper Cronk is the big dog. And I think with Teddy at the back also being captain, when he calls something, you've got to give it. He when it comes to hierarchy, everything, usually you've got to give it to him. And I think Teddy probably needs to go, if this is the case, again, guys, if it is Kiri doing this, then it's obviously Kiri's fault. But if Teddy is overcalling things or directing the team around the park, it's like, in defence, that's his job. He should direct the team around the park in defence, get them in spots. But in attack, like, that's not his job. Like, he shouldn't be saying, we need this, we need that. It should be Kiri saying, mate, this is where we're getting to. I don't know. What do you reckon, homie?
Yeah, I mean, the Storm, credit to them, though. Like, they hung on there when they lost Munster to the bin as well. So, I mean, they done pretty good to hang on there. But, yeah, I don't know. They do look a little bit disorganised. The Chooks can't quite get it together. I don't really know. I don't know how you – what is the solution here? Do you – when Walker's back, does he just become the big dog or
– Well, I don't think – I think that – I personally think that – if it is Teddy that's making all these calls about, I want this play over here, I want that play over there, that probably needs to stop. If that is the case, again, I don't know. It could be Kiri calling that. If Kiri's calling that, then it's Kiri's fault. And, you know, you need to sit down and go, well, maybe Kiri isn't the one to lead the team. Maybe it's Sam Walker's the one to lead the team. I guess the question is last week, Kiri looked like a player that did want to play through the middle, that did want to play high tempo footy on the advantage line.
Does Cronk still do anything with the Roosters?
Yeah, he's their attack coach.
That stunned me. Hey? Yeah. Like that, you know, we can't work out what the DNA in their attack is, what their shapes are. I was like, with Cooper Cronk, they're cool. Mm. You think he'd be all over it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but it's one thing that I've always thought with Cooper Cronk, like for the way that he, like no one's ever been able to emulate the way that Cronk plays. Mm. No one's been able to get to that level of just, like he was just methodical in everything that he did. And I've said it for a while. Like I look at comparing him to Sam Walker, they're complete polar opposites. Like, like when I look back at how Cronk used to play his footy, it actually doesn't shock me that these guys, that he's not all that much help to them.
See, I don't think it's the direction of like the game plan. I genuinely think it's purely they don't know who is the one leading the team around the park. And that's either Keary needs to step up and be dominant and make the right calls, or it's Teddy needs to just take a little bit of a step back and allow Keary to do that, or Sam Walker to do that.
The thing that makes it so difficult is that Keary looks great without Walker. Walker looks great without Keary, and they both look better with Sandon Smith.
Mm.
What do you do?
Well, Sandon's back either this week or next. Far out, Robert's got some decisions to make.
I will say, put it this way. In short, I think the biggest issue at the Roosters is there's too many cooks in the kitchen. Like, in regards 100%. It's just got such a good side that they are trying so hard. Whereas I feel like when you looked at the game last week, it was a very clear game plan. Joey's not the best ball player. Outside backs, we want you just fucking absolutely. Our first three head ups are all you. Joey through the middle, Radley through the middle, Cheese through the middle. And like they looked really good. And then this week, they did that for the first half. So they absolutely can do it with Teddy. And they're definitely better when they do it with Teddy. It's just weird in the second half. They just started going like this side to side.
You look at, chatting about the most dominant halves in the competition. We go, all right, if DC is the form half of the competition, he has a 5'8 who plays second fiddle to him and knows his role in Luke Brooks. Nicho Hynes, another one. Sharkies, Trindle, a bit more of a role in attack, but plays second fiddle. Storm with Jerome Hughes and Munster, they're a little bit of a different one and a very unique combination because they do have stars and they make it work, to be fair, the Storm.
But in the Storms, that's true, they do make it work. But they have a clear blueprint of Smithy, Munster, Kronk, Slater. Yeah. So they've just gone, this is what you do, to the...
Yeah. And then the last one there, the Warriors, Sean Johnson, and whether it's Tamari Martin, whether it's Luke Metcalf, Sean Johnson runs the show, pulls the strings, then he has a great support player and a second fill in a 5'8". Whereas the Roosters, we don't know who that is. We don't know who the out-and-out organiser is, the main man, and there's got to be something to that, doesn't there?
For example, Teddy kicking on the second tackle, I think, and then also, they got a scrum just before half time. It's coming out of their own end, so granted, maybe they didn't want to spin it, and he took a one-off hit off the scrum. And when I look at those situations, I'm like, Teddy, let the outside backs, if it's just going to be one off the scrum, give them the ball to just get them in the game, and you do the... I want Teddy doing just purely cream of the crop stuff. I don't, yes, every now and then get in there and do the hard yards because he loves that stuff, but he's literally top three fullbacks of all time, in my opinion. And he's at the stage of his career where I'm like, mate, let the outside backs, let Joey come in and do that. I just want you on beautiful set plays through the middle.
That Penrith formula of you look at Tupu, Manu, Sualee in your back line, who all should and generally do run for 150 towards 200 metres a game, just going whack, 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 let them go, do the hard yards.
And I know Dylan Edwards, obviously, he does a lot of the meterage and tackle, all that kind of stuff, but the difference is Cleary is 100%. There is not even a single question that Cleary is the main man there.
You know what I thought in this game on the weekend? If you ever look at Daniel Tupou, right? Kick return meters, he had 11. Sualee had 6. Teddy had 78. I'm pretty sure the Melbourne Storm just kicked it to him every time, knowing we know he'll return.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure.
And then they went, and then we can just umbrella and beat the shit out of Tupou and Sualee. And they ran for, Tupou ran for 142 meters. They kept Sualee to 90.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And so
I think they kicked to Teddy on purpose, going, we know you'll return that ball and we're okay with that.
Tie out the fullback. Why not?
Get the ball away from these other two that have been causing havoc the last few weeks.
Spot from you, Roo.
Thank you. Last week, surprise. So you did watch a bit of footy on the weekend?
Watch the occasional bit of footy.
No, it's a great point. It's a great point. Teddy a few years ago, I probably wouldn't kick to him because you're stuff that. Teddy now, a little bit older, I'd rather him running at me than Sualee right now. What do you got there, Matty?
I was just going to point out, it's pretty interesting that in the last 5 years, including this year, the Roosters' most impressive season was probably 2021 purely because they were so decimated and they made the second week of finals. And that kind of supports your evidence that Keary was out that year, Sam Walker gets Rookie of the Year, and that's their best season. Since then, every time they're together, they don't perform together. It's interesting that that is the best season they've had.
And, as you just said, too many cooks in the kitchen, I completely agree. Thank God Victor Radley has worked out, just go forward. Well, yeah. Could you imagine if he was still trying to ball play?
What was his dip in form? His dip in form was he was trying to also be a cook in the kitchen.
Yep.
And he was unsure of what's going on and it looked all unstructured. Now he's going, I don't need to do that. I just need to run hard and then bit of ball playing here or there. Because Victor Radley, let's talk about some positives now. Actually, just before we get into some positives, I personally believe Trent Robinson's in under a bit of pressure. I think if you're a Roosters fan, I think the question has to be asked. What he has achieved is incredible at the Roosters. 3 premierships, 1,000 minor premierships, all that. But the questions have to begin to be asked. With the current roster he's had for the last 5 years, and although they have made finals and, you know, limped in and all that kind of stuff, I do believe, now, does that mean he's gone this year? I'm not sure. I don't know. But I do think questions need to begin to be asked about Trent Robinson.
Yeah, he looks like a guy under pressure to me. And I was going to mention him to you guys pre-show, but I thought I'd save it. Roosters, obviously in the premierships business always. Wouldn't be surprised if Politis goes out and makes a big splash. Any coaches on the market you think you could target?
You're free.
Well, I'm not free.
Okay.
But could you imagine if the Roosters go after Wayne next year?
Oh, actually, no, I don't think they ever will.
I know there's history there.
The history of the
that was 20 years ago now.
Yeah.
I reckon it could be one of the more interesting storylines in rugby league.
As a content creator?
It'd be all time.
The best ever. But, okay, in regards to how under pressure is Robinson, do you think?
Jason Demetriou could come straight in.
That's low stuff. That's low stuff from you, Timmy.
Low brow.
Timmy Turkey Slap. There he is.
Yeah, mate, I think he's under serious pressure. You know, we've said the last few weeks, and on the weekend was no different. The way that he's talking in press conferences, it's making less and less sense to me. Really is. Like, you had the Dom Young situation the other day, which was mind-boggling, and then, yeah, to walk away from that game the other day and sort of pinpoint the refs, that really knocked me for 6.
I was genuinely surprised, because Robbo's, you know, usually really good.
He is.
Like, honestly, the last few years, he's probably been the best at going, you know, we had other ways to win that. And don't get me wrong, in the press conference, he did say, he didn't pin it all on the refs. He did go through the fact that they, you know, missed opportunities and they should have played better. So let's not pretend that it was just about that. But he did make a point of pointing out those two calls.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, like, if you ever look through their missed tackles, the only player that didn't miss multiple tackles was Daniel Tupou.
And he probably, made 5 or something, 6?
Well, the vast majority of guys missed 2 or 3 tackles. It's, you know, along with the, you know, you mentioned the kick on second tackle, like with 25 minutes to go against the Melbourne Storm when you're playing at home and Cam Munster gets sent to the sin bin, if you don't win that from there, that's on you.
What do you reckon?
He looks rattled for the first time, or sounds rattled, I should say, for the first time, I think, ever, with Trent Robbo. Cool, calm, collected, always composed. He just... yeah, he looks a bit rattled. And under pressure, absolutely. They haven't, hasn't been a premiership since 2019. Each and every year, sure, there's been a few injuries here and there, but they've had unbelievable squads. Even if there's been a few injuries this year, the New South Wales Cup squad's just as good as bloody half the squads in the NRL. So there's no excuses. And I think for the teams that he's had underneath him for 5 years, history of results and premierships, they can only get you so far before you go, we need better than this. And like... since 2019, have they even made a prelim?
They made one. Actually, no, they haven't made any.
They haven't
made a prelim.
Yeah, it's like there's been week one, week two finals exits, even last year. And I know Robbo does this and gets his sides to peak really well back into the season, but they had to win a lot in a row and have done a few times to even make the 8. So, yeah, I think if the Roosters, let's say they finish week one even, probably to a lesser degree, week two of finals, and they don't have a ton of injuries and excuses, I think he should be under heaps of pressure to retain that job.
You have a look over the next few weeks. Roosters got Anzac Day this week against the Dragons. Won't be easy. They then go Broncos, Warriors, Sharks. It's a big few weeks coming up.
And then?
The Raiders.
The Mighty Milk.
Stopped very abruptly.
They should have recovered from their Broncos loss by then, I reckon.
That's a tough month coming up. That's a brutal month.
And they're currently sitting 11th, I think.
Yeah, 11th.
Yeah.
And only one of those games is at home.
Jeez.
So I do think that questions need to begin to be asked. Do I think that he should be on the chopping block like right now? No, absolutely not. I think that, put it this way, if they miss the 8, there's a real genuine question of should he be the coach of the Roosters? But
Guru, that's classic Roosters fans not calling this weekend a home game.
I didn't even look at that.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, results matter. They really do. He's got an incredible resume. What he's achieved has been amazing, but he's got to find a way to turn around. I think it all lies in getting that spine, understanding who is the guy running. And if it, put it this way, if it has been Kiri that, if Trent Robinson has been walking in every single day and saying, Kiri, you're the main man, and Teddy has been allowing Kiri to run the team, then you have to ask yourself, you know, is Kiri the man for the job? You know, he's a Sam Walker. He's, you know, so some, I think some tough decisions have to be made over the next few weeks for the Roosters. Some good positives, though. I thought Collins was phenomenal. Lindsay Collins was outstanding. The play that he did at the 15-minute mark where he's chasing a line break and he knocks the ball down and they get the ball back. But not only that, he then is – he leads the kick chase after that play. And then 15 minutes later, Nass comes on the field. His first run, Lindsay Collins shoots out of line and jams him. So in a space of like 20 minutes, every, you know, 1% play that you could make, he's made it. Everything – if you could sit there and go, this is what I want my front runner to do in a perfect world – he did every single one. He ticked every single box in a 20-minute period.
How good was that? As soon as Nass came on, Lindsay was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah. Like, that's old school. That's dominating the other big player. Like, that's what Lindsay Collins is about. That's why he's one of the first pick for Queensland every single year.
It was Origin Lindsay, wasn't it? Where, like, not necessarily, like, padding the stat sheet, but just those big effort plays.
Mm. Even the last one where Coates scores, he gets over there late because Hargreaves is on him, and he's sitting there on his knees, and he's, like, blood pouring blood down everywhere. His face. Yeah. And it's just like, mate, he is such a good player to watch. Also, I think Radley has been phenomenal.
Yeah,
I think Radley is having, you know, close to the best season he's had in, what do you reckon, three years?
By far and away the best season he's had in since they went back to back.
Yeah, pretty much. I think he's been absolutely outstanding.
On the middle rotations, really.
May again.
Yep.
Mate, so I've got a few numbers around just from the results with him. Because 1 minute he played big minutes, the next week he won't. So on the weekend, played 30 minutes, they get done 18-12 in a pretty disappointing loss to the Storm. Week before, plays 50 minutes, an upset win over the Knights, 22-20. Week before that, played 20 minutes against the Dogs. I know a lot of shit went on there, but they've done 30-26 and was really disappointing just the way that whole game panned out for him, blown off the park early. While he was on the field, I know it's only 20 minutes, but they were actually up 12-6 and they scored the set that he went off in that game. Round four, he played 55 minutes. They lost to the Panthers 22-16. Great result against Penrith. Week before that, 52 minutes, they won 48-6 over the Bunnies. The only probably outlier to these numbers, round two, he played 57 minutes, got done 21-14 to Manly, but Manly have had some big scouts this season already. And then round one over in Vegas, he played 54 minutes straight. They won 20-10 against the Broncos.
That whole situation, like, very strange. He just re-signed.
I don't know if you guys spoke about it on Packer Up Boys the other day, but I'd love to know if Terrell May knew that Fisher-Harris was going.
Yeah, because then that money would free up. Yeah, interesting.
I mean, he sat here with you and said, I want to play with my brother.
Mm. But, I mean, does Penrith want him, though? Yeah, that,
yeah.
But, yeah, the May situation of the Roosters it's not a situation, but it is just perplexing that
why
he's only getting...
Why did he play 30 minutes?
And also, Cheese got brought off for 30 minutes. Cheese only played 55.
Mm.
I feel like in a game like that, where it's close, it's against a Storm, you're playing him at least 65, 70, surely.
Well, you sit there and you look and go, all right, they had one line break all game, really struggled to sort of threaten their Storm line. You've got this tackle busting, offloading, creates a second phase
and
play
when he was
for
on,
Manu,
he was doing that.
Teddy. He always does.
Yeah.
Why would he play 30 minutes?
Yeah, with May, sorry. Are you talking about May?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and but also with Cheese, he played 55.
Cheese as well, yeah.
Yeah, like, wouldn't you play him longer?
Even, like, Radley has been terrific. Mm. He's gone 80 minutes in the middle at the moment.
Like, I'm not sure when he came on and off and whatnot, but, and I'm not sure where their interchange are at this point, but if I had Terrell Mason on my bench, as soon as Munster got binned, on.
Mate, I'd be trying straight to get him through the middle. He's got footage that we don't see. Maybe there's parts of Terrell's game that, like, you know, Trent Robinson is a big advocate of that he doesn't do well. Yeah. Like, maybe it's line speed. I don't know.
Well, it's Trent Robinson, one of the smartest things in the NRL. There'd be something behind
it. There'd have to be.
God knows what it is.
Very, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, some positives. Collins outstanding. Radley outstanding. I also think Sualee's been flying under the radar with some of the plays he's made. That tap back for Joey Manu was unbelievable. Like, if you go and watch the sleight of hand, that didn't just, you know, a lot of the time they... players go up and they bat it back and it just kind of like hits their hand awkwardly and sometimes it lands in the centre stand. If you go back and watch closely, he like intentionally like moves his hands like that perfectly to where he's it's just a great player. I think Sully's been fine. Right?
He's going to be forced back to centre. Dom back this week.
Yep.
Such a good threat on the wing, and just they could probably kick to him a little bit more, I reckon.
Agreed.
Probably underutilise him a little bit.
Well, look, Xavier Coates on the other side. Mm. We'll get into it, shall we? Storm. Mate, outstanding. And what excites me the most about the Storm is you can see a base of a foundation of a game plan that they're probably at about 6 out of 10 at the moment. By the time finals roll around, with everyone back, with Nas firing, they didn't even have Kamakamitha on the weekend. So their starting front row wasn't even in the game. And they're at about a 6 or 7 out of 10. When they hit 10 out of 10 around – if they hit 10 out of 10 around finals time, they're a premiership heavyweight. I love the way they're playing. They've shown all the grit in the world. They've got so much more room for improvement. But, I mean, Munster is – you know, you can tell he's injured. He's nowhere near his best at the moment. And Hughes has been incredible. Pappy can – he's only – you know, he's in his sixth or seventh game back this year. There is so much room for growth. Blaw has exploded. Chan came on and killed it. For a forward pack going into this year, we're sitting there going, a lot of questions around it. If everyone in that forward pack keeps going in the direction they're going in, it'll go from one of the most questionable top-tier forward packs to one of the scariest forward packs. Especially if Kamakamitha can keep playing the way he is. I think the Storm have been outstanding to start of the year, as in they haven't been playing as well as they can, but outstanding to get wins even when they're not playing as well as they can.
They're just such a typical Melbourne, Craig Bellamy, Melbourne side, that they're just not going to beat themselves. Mm. If you're going to get 2 points against them, you're gonna have to beat them. Sean Blaw, mate, he looks like the forward that they've been waiting for. Mm. He, you know, what's that, his second game as a starter, third game as a starter, I think it is. Very early days. He'll only get better as we go. If his body holds together, he's in for a huge season.
Mate, and what I'm loving about his game is that we're just seeing the tough stuff at the moment. We're not seeing, like, he's not just a battler forward. He's a forward that can break tackles, have line breaks, score tries, offloads big plays, big plays. And also, he's a leader as well, and he's so young still. We're just seeing the tip of the iceberg with him.
Mate, the pass that he came off his left foot and he came back to the middle and he hit Joe Chan, like... There's not many halves in the comp that would have hit that pass.
Yeah, he's scary how good he can be if his body can hold up. That's
his body holds
question.
Up. He's going to be such a good player. And mate, the form of Coates. Oh. I don't know about you guys, but he's constantly a guy that at the start of the year, when I'm thinking about my Origin sides, I go, yeah, maybe Coates, maybe. Like, you couldn't possibly consider leaving him out.
He's a lock-in, an absolute lock-in.
Iceman.
He's won three. He's had three match-winning plays in the first 7 rounds of the NRL.
We can't have a specific market on it, but I can see him doing that in a Origin game this year as well. Just he's done it too often this season.
Yeah, and as you said, Kimby, I mean, for me, realistically, Grant, Munster, Pappy, I couldn't give their season so far probably more than a 7 out of 10. Even some of those guys are 6 out of 10. Once they start to play some footy, they're going to be so hard to stop.
Like, you know, they've just been solid. Like, Munster's just got through his work. Grant has been, he had one really good game outside of that. He's just been solid. Pappy, been solid. It's really been the Hughes show down at Storm.
And the way that, you know, this competition works, if they're peaking at the right end of the season, they'll get 2 home games in Melbourne. Good luck.
Oh, yeah, good luck going down there. With them all fit, with that spine together for a full season, like, it's 2022 was the last time they played together before this current, you know, batch of playing together. I just love the way they play. What about yourself, Timmy? What do you reckon?
Yeah, it's a great point you make around the big guns haven't stepped up yet, and they're second on the table. So they've got the second best defensive record in the NRL behind the Penrith Panthers. And I had some stats last week around Harry Grant being the big one, who's been okay, but he hasn't scored a try this year. He's had 1 try assist. He's had 1 try contribution. He's had only 1 line break and 2 line break assists. Like, scratching the surface if we know what Harry Grant is going to do. You mentioned Cam Munster got that groin concern, just come back from injury. Pappenhausen's been solid. Again, got to remember he's coming back from lengthy injury laps as well. So they are building so nicely. And they don't – like, we've had question marks in the past around their middles and, you know, are they good enough to compete with the best in the game? They don't necessarily have to – because they've got so much strike power and points in them on the flanks and in their spine – they don't necessarily need to dominate teams through the middle in the best games. They only need to match them, which they're doing. You add in Blaw, Katoa, who are both killing it. They're very well placed.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, obviously you need them to make decent meters. But you just need that those middle front rows to be good defenders, really. Mm. Like, because when you've got guys like Bloor, Katoa, you've got outside backs like Coates, Pappy through the middle, the meters will come. You got Meany who gets through a bunch of work. What we spoke about Bloor, what's crazy is, we're speaking about Bloor, we haven't even spoken about Katoa. And I know, like, he had those two errors, which obviously keeps him out of the team of the week. But if you get rid of those two errors, like, this guy is absolutely killing it on the edge. Like, a constant nightmare for defence. On the weekend, he had a try assist, 13 runs, 105 metres, 41 post contact, 5 tackle breaks, 40 tackles, only 1 miss. And then you go to the other edge, 31 tackles for Bloor, 0 misses. So on both edges, they had about 71 tackles, not about, they had 71 tackles. Out of the 71 tackles on the edge at 4 in defender, 1 miss.
Yeah.
Like, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, and the Melbourne Storm at the moment, they've played 6 games now. They've only conceded 98 points. And in no shock to anyone, the top 4 teams at the moment, they've conceded the least amount of points in the competition. So they're bit like, and the two records that are the most similar, the Melbourne Storm and the Penrith Panthers.
What's insane is, like, not this is a game they won against the Roosters. Roosters, renowned forward pack, that's crazy. This is what Nass had. He had 9 runs for 70 metres and 1 tackle break. Like, so a guy that last year, their whole forward pack was literally based on however this guy plays is how we play as a team, to basically just cherry on top. Mm. Like, basically just the cherry on top. It is just such incredible stuff. And I tell you what, when it comes to Yarn, obviously outside of me hoping the Broncos win, but if they win in Bellamy's last year, if it is his last year, I mean, that's great, Yarn. Oh. That's just like, he may as well just go, thanks for coming, see you Destined. Later, boys.
Destined for it.
Yeah. I mean, if there's one coach who deserves a premiership in his last year, probably be the great Bellyache.
And then go and coach the Roosters next year.
Oh, could you imagine?
The two plays for me, Kempy and this one, were just Hughes' effort area for his first try. Put up the big crossfield bomb, follows it up. I can't remember if it was quarter or tap back, but he's just flying on. Had no right to be doing that. Mm. Scored a ripping try off it. And probably not far off the play here of the game, but 3 minutes to go, Pappenhausen getting out of goal, skinning Suoliti one-on-one, had no right to do it. Should have been held in goal there. Roosters were attacking, 2.5 on the clock to level the game up. Got out, game over.
Game over. Gets out, and guess who takes the scoot the next hit up? King. So you've got a front rower tracking so hard, he's in the corner, and he's the first one there, and he takes a scoot out of his own end. And we did a bit of footage on it on Packer Up Boys. If you trail him for that next set, he is done. Like, lactic acid build up, like, he's done. Mm. He kick chases, he takes a hit up, he does his job, and he's just making his leg work, like, just getting through it. And, like, that's what typifies a Storm. It really is.
When Josh King was in Newcastle, I got a mate that grew up the same age group. He missed the Harold Matts, the SG ball, missed all those sides.
Mate, he could barely make the Newey side.
Yep.
Goes down to Storm, and, like, he's probably one of the – him and Meany – probably, obviously, you've got Munster and that are the first picked, but I tell you what, there would be no second guessing of should I pick Meany, should I pick King. Yeah. Whereas I feel like a lot of other clubs, they'd go, oh, he's not the big flashy centre that has a big fend and a flick pass and footwork and all that kind of stuff, even though Meany's footwork's pretty good. And so they'd almost get overlooked. King, oh, he's not the biggest front rower, but that's what makes the Storm great.
He had 6 years at Newcastle, he played 78 games. This is his third year, so like, basically 2 years and a few games, and he's played 57 for Storm.
There you go. There you go. And also, the 6 years at Newey was when they were, like, you know, tough times. Tough times.
Tell you who else I want to give her up to. I thought Remus Smith defended Joey Manu really well. When Joey Manu started to cause havoc, it was because Connor Watson was turning him under and whatnot. There was a few times where Joey Manu got early ball to take on Remus Smith. I thought he handled him very well.
Yeah, and which is good because in the trials, his defence was a little bit off, but Remus is known for his defence.
Yep.
So when he's bringing that, I think Meany's been frigging outstanding at centre as well. Anyway, that is Storm versus Roosters. Hopefully the Roosters can turn it around because it's just, I want another horse in the race. You know what I mean? If there's one team that has the roster to go against Penrith, to go against Storm, to go against the Broncos, it's the Roosters. So hopefully they can... It feels weird to say because, like, it was only a few weeks ago where I'm going, yeah, the Roosters, they're looking pretty good. And then now I'm like, oh, shit, like, could we be... Like,
and you just don't want to see talent like they've got wasted there. I can't see these guys playing good footage. It should be such an entertaining game every single week instead of a frustrating one.
And they could come out and put on a 10 out of 10 performance on the end.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Down, yeah. Yeah, there it is. But because I've been saying this for 3 years.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.